welcome to another broadcast of Project Urantia on the Artist First Radio Network. This is the first broadcast of the year 2012. Oh, man. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder what's going to happen. One way to find out is to ask perhaps one of the most knowledgeable people on the planet about what might be happening this year. Our guest of the hour, every broadcast, it's Michael in Maui. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Z-Man.
I just want you to know that outside the window of my studio right here, it is 9 degrees.
9 degrees?
9. We're down to single digits, folks.
Man. My goodness.
It is cold.
That is awfully cold.
Well, did you? So you survived the holidays. Here we are at 2012. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, 2012. You know, it rolled in just like how I thought it would. As another year moved through. However, it was touched off by a gentle glancing blow from our sun, and it had some effect. So I think we are in for a lot more activity. In fact, I have a bit of uneasiness in me because of that unusual behavior of our sun, and we're headed right toward the peak, which is toward the end of 2012 through 2013, and it is indeed a very different time today than the last time a very powerful CME or coronal mass ejection, as well as a solar flare, impacted our planet, which left some pretty heavy duty evidence that if it hit today, would definitely disrupt our way of doing things, our way of life, especially our electronic technology. And that, of course, is primarily the way our civilization runs right now, keeps it up and running. The financial system is one in which the celestials gave me good warning and very clear vision of how it would actually stop for a while, or break down, and I guess go through change. And I'm looking at this year and seeing some of the events that are moving in toward us, and they're not as if they're unexpected. I'm kind of expecting some solar activity that's going to be quite unusual.
Well, gee, backing up one step about the financial woes of this world, you mean there's more coming?
Well, yes, of course. If any time, well, when the financial woes, basically the system itself has gone to a point of excess and essentially can't hold itself together. But just the mechanics of making a system work, you know, let's say a credit card, transaction requires telecommunications, and that, of course, is one of the things that will definitely be disrupted during any of these solar events that apparently it seems that the smaller events that are happened or have happened in this, on our sun recently, and I'm talking just a few days or weeks ago, were touched off in like a machine gun burst, bam, 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 right? And they were small and not necessarily, you know, something as large as, you know, triple whammy X-class flares, bang, bang, bang. They were major, though, but they still had an effect. So the sun is setting them off pretty fast, not like one here, one there, and those are the things to watch out for. Of course, we can't do much about them, especially in detecting the ones that travel, radiation that travels at the speed of light, but many of the particles themselves will give us a couple of days' warning.
Yeah, if the excuse me. Sorry, hacking up a furball there. I was surprised to find out, as another thing I did not know, was that the I Ching the isn't that the basically the Bible of Taoism in China?
Taoism, yeah, is archaic religion, philosophy, kind of mixed together.
Well, the reason I bring it up is I recently became enlightened to the fact that the I Ching also predicts a major world change or cataclysm or end of an age or something big happening this year. This year, 2012.
Yes.
You know, on top of the Hopis, on top of the Incas, on top of the Sumerian text. I haven't finished the Colburn Bible yet. I don't know if they give us a date, but they say we're going to get walloped by a passing dwarf star sometime soon. Is humanity just plain crazy? I mean, think about this. If all these civilizations across all these millennia, if they're all a bunch of just idiots and they made all this stuff up hoping, you know, for what reason? I don't know why. I'm just posing this rhetorical question. Or did they know what they were talking about? Because I can't see much middle ground here. Can you?
Well, you know, one of the things is that they basically say very similar things. And when they do, at least the part that they're aware of sort of synchronizes, I guess, with other philosophies or ancient knowledge. And one of the things that is not necessarily ancient, but lines up with ancient knowledge, and is from the Urantia book, actually, has to do with ends of ages. Now, when ages end, and particularly of how the celestials function at ends of ages, there tends to be something similar to a type of judgment. And this is sort of a review, essentially, because many times the cycles require review at the end of a cycle. And the review has a lot to do with where civilization, the people, the individuals are pointing toward where they're headed. And I'm not sure exactly if this end of an age matches the end of an age, which tends to have some celestial alignment properties. With our end of the age of this 2012, there's a bit of uneasiness in terms of this judgment cycle that also corresponds with the end of an age. And in the judgment cycle, of course, are gathering up of those who are destined for advancement, as well as those who are not necessarily advanceable, I guess, who have to go through a type of review, higher level review. So they're not scheduled for advancement. This happens at the end of an age, and one in which I believe we are very close to, or actually this could be the year of the end of an age.
Have you been following that computer-assisted prediction service, not service, but system. It's called a web bot, where back in the 90s, the computer programming, or the Wall Street wanted to see if they could, using computer programs, predict what the high of Microsoft stock would be. So this newfangled computer thing, they used this multitude of computers to try to figure that out. And in the process, they've realized they were coming up with all kinds of trends and things that were happening, and predicting accurately some of the things that have, I think they claim they predicted terrorism attack in 9/11. I don't know how specifically, but at any rate, long story short, the web bot predicts something happening at the end of 2012. And here's a computer program. Now, come on. Now maybe it's surveying the collective consciousness of, because that's what it does. It scans the entire internet for trends.
Well, let me give some more insight into what it's doing. Actually, we are essentially supposed to be well aligned with the first source and center, given that the human race has a peculiar ability, which is we have been given a piece of divinity, the divine fractal, whether we align to it or not. But many who do, whether consciously or subconsciously, align to the divine fractal, have shared information, and that information is many times synchronized to a point where the behavior of the masses of people tend to be able to point out things that can and do or are or will be happening or are happening very, very shortly. And this is what perhaps the web body is able to peer into, because this is as far as the celestials advised me or gave me insight to, was a very powerful gift that the human race was given. Now, whether the human being themselves, the individual, will align themselves to that divine fractal, will be a matter of personal, their personal resonance, you might say, as they want to draw near. And it's almost like listening to music. If you want to listen to the music, you stay there and listen to the music. If you don't like it, you walk away from it. And those that resonate with that divine voice tend to have a common mind. Those that do not tend to have more of a non-aligned behavior or somewhat random. And it doesn't mean that you're essentially being controlled. It's essentially mean that we have a common source. Those who align themselves with first source and center through the divine fractal have a mind that is higher than our own. And that shared mind is what perhaps the web bot is picking up. And because of that, they're seeing that phenomena. And what I'm saying in this statement is perhaps it is one way of saying that the divine fractal is actually functioning in this world, which if it wasn't for that, we would be pretty much a lost cause. Essentially, intelligent animals basically going to eat each other to death.
Well, it is that year that's been talked about for thousands of years. Here we are in January, January 3rd. 2012 is the original date of this broadcast. By the way, December 21st, 2012 is a Friday. We're thinking about having an end-of-the-world party. You know, artists, we were half thinking about putting on something huge with Artists First and doing it upright. But then, you know, the more I think about it, what if something's happening that day? What if we find out in February, September, October, something's not right? You know, I don't know how to treat that day. I mean, do I expect something will actually happen on that specific day? Not really. But how should we act, Michael? How should people, you know, first of all, before you answer that question, I think similar to the Y2K situation, as December draws near, the public is going to focus on this to some degree. Now, if they just pay it a passing, you know, like it's American Idol program and that's all there is to it, okay, that's fine. But what if the public really takes this maybe to an extreme? I mean, this could get, what if we see food hoarding and, you know, what if it gets to be a panic and a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way? So then back to my original question. So what should we do?
Well, you mentioned the Y2K event. The Y2K event was basically a technological glitch that had to be repaired. If it went through without any patches and upgrades in software, there would have been problems, yes. I know that for a fact. But just the rolling over of a date would have caused some of the mainframes, especially the mainframes, to go into a type of non-functional, you know, routine. And as those that knew how to went ahead and did the upgrading, the patching, writing the software, rewriting the software. We avoided it, and it was good that we knew about it. In this case, it's similar. What we don't know for specific is what specifically are the things that we should watch for. Will there be, like you say, lack of food? Well, one of the things that I have been warned about and given insight about is that probably our electronics will fail at one point. How long will our telecommunications be down? How long will our computer systems be inactive? I don't know. But it apparently will be long enough to cause some problems with exchange. Recently, I went to a supermarket, and the supermarket was in the back of a cash register, was pasted up a blank sheet of paper with quickly scribbled note, cash only. And I asked what was going on, and they said, oh, yeah, well, you got cash. I said, yeah, I got cash. What's this about? And he says, oh, we can't process any of anything based on using the computer system because our point of sales service was knocked down, and in Hawaii, basically, a good chunk of Hawaii was not operating in terms of that. So people couldn't, were walking out, people have shopping carts full of groceries that they couldn't buy. People with those, I forgot what you call them, with the...
Debit cards.
Debt card.
No, the debit, D-E-B-I-T, yeah, debit cards.
And as well as the federal government, like, used to call it food stamps before.
Oh, those, I see what you're, yeah, you were, yeah.
They couldn't process, and you know.
It's all the same thing.
It's all the same thing, you had cash, it worked. So a little hint would be, have some cash on hand. It may be useful. Other things would be understanding that you need to at least have something on the shelf. Don't be completely void of any basic necessity. So this exercise, and I was wondering what caused it, and they never really came up with the full reason why they had that outage. This has happened more often, and one of them was synchronized to a CME. So that seemed to be a hint that something more powerful really could do a lot more damage if it was more widespread, and it would shut down greater segments of the world, shutting down its economy and exchange and funds and the flow of things. So,
well, don't we have the technology to see these things coming, and is there any way to turn the grid off if we shut the thing down before one of these things strikes us?
It's pretty much what we try to do as far as avoiding the mass charge particle blast. But detecting some of these events happens to happen at the speed of light. So you're just basically looking at a solar image, light. But if you detected that, and with that are events or electromagnetic waves that are propagated out of the sun at the same velocity as the speed of light, which will be, if it's electromagnetic, it will be propagated at the speed of light, will be not detected until it basically shuts you down. So that is one of the big weaknesses of saying that we could detect. Perhaps you could detect, but it would be too late. If it is a powerful electromagnetic wave or disturbance, the terrorists, or those who say it about, talk about terrorism in terms of an EMP device, a bomb that would go off to knock out things. And that's pretty scary when you think about the level of electronics today and how much power is in a cell phone and how much of that is built around very, very susceptible electronics that would go down. And I remember back in the 60s when I was with my dad watching the Johnson Island detonation and how our car died. It was idling and it died, and the radio went off and the lights of Lahaina went off, and that EMP pulse was definitely scary. It kind of freaked out. Some people were kind of parked next to us who were trying to watch the same event. So this kind of stuff hitting our planet on a more powerful level, and then knocking out some of our satellite system, which we depend on tremendously, will be a big problem. More of a problem, of course, are the social events that are also happening at the same time this year, which are pressured similarly through economic engine, you know, whether it's tweaked by humankind or not. Still, you know, the force that is being dealt with. I'm talking about the Iran behavior, which also was watching as the Celestials themselves were watching, especially an ocean-based message, which is pretty much coming true right now. So not sure what level it is, but it's very uneasy right now as far as what I'm feeling and what I'm getting through the window of this particular time I'm looking into, which is very close. So.
Don't you think, though, as a student of political science, that's mm-hmm. what I have a degree in, you know that behind the scenes, in the diplomatic circles, when they sit down, you know that the United States has expressed the following concept to the diplomats of Iran, that if, in fact, a nuclear device would be triggered within the United States, we will annihilate your entire country and everybody in your entire nation. And we use that threat. I mean, it's the same thing with the Russians. What was the difference, right? Hey, if you launch missiles at us, we're going to annihilate you to pieces. It worked very well. I mean, there was no war so far, at least, between us and the Russians. And you know that while it may not be publicly stated, you know we've gone to these countries and we've told them privately, we have tons of new missiles and you guys will be turned to glass. So don't even think about it. Now, am I just a lunatic fringe person, or do you think maybe that's exactly what's been told to some of these people?
Well, that's one of the most powerful Trump cards that we do have, is that we really do have tremendous power as far as destructive power. But others, much smaller, like Israel themselves, probably possess pretty good devices that are able to be triggered by their own know-how and are independent of our, you know, our massive power structure. Yes, the military-industrial complex is what's called. In any case, I have some very uneasy feeling about that area.
Well, what about, and this could be in any religion, we've got as many whack jobs over here as they have over there. What about these people that think they're part of the history and that it's up to them to bring the age to a close? They're going to, you know, they're the ones that's going to push the button. That they don't care, you know, that they feel it's part of their destiny to bring, you know, either the Messiah back or the end of the world or martyr everybody. And it's that whack job thinking that that worries me.
Yes, and it was that particular thinking was around even at the time of Christ. In fact, that's probably what Judas Iscariot was thinking when he was trying to manipulate the affairs, thinking that if he cornered Christ, he'd call the... and at the time, what Christ did say was about, you know, being able to call a lot of angels, I mean, legions of them. It was absolutely true, but he didn't. And those very same legions are much, much more involved in the observation of what things going on here. So they haven't left, but again, you know, that's a matter of themselves watching, because there is a very large, ever-growing number of these larger celestial craft. They're not really craft, too, either. They're made in the idea of being crafted. But they're moving around looking at what, at the end of an age, would be considered a salvageable population and that has attuned themselves toward the first source and center, and that central voice of guidance that is above and beyond the idea of how to manipulate and control affairs in this world, whether it be done in a very small sense or in a larger sense, to be focused on the things of this world, in ways that are manipulative and using divisive versus more of a nurturing attitude, has come to a point of, I believe, a very severe diseased level, I guess, for our planet. So that has to be worked with before it, like you have been alluding to, we waste ourselves pretty soon if you don't get some things taken care of.
Well, you know, Riley used to say that the Celestials have stepped in on numerous occasions and stopped either weapons from going off inadvertently or actually stopped us from blowing ourselves to smithereens in a nuclear holocaust.
Yes.
Do you think that that was an accurate statement on his part?
Yes, I think that that has a lot of credibility. There's also others that are operating on a type of higher level diplomatic type of affair. Their function is one more of diplomacy, one more of how to continue to make peace out of eventually what would be considered a warring situation. And that is where those who are perhaps more attuned to the central source will find themselves guided. And I mean, and I'm, you know, because of this knowledge of human race having this great quality of being able to, having been fit with divinity, we are not, you know, going to be essentially without hope, because those who are in positions of, you know, looking eyeball to eyeball across the table with somebody that is antagonistic, perhaps, and they may not be friendly, may actually have more help than we realize. And actually, in those talks, powerful things happen and are influenced by celestial guidance many times, much more than I had presumed. In fact, I realized that one of the my own encounters was just before a big conference in Bali, and the celestials were there. And I, you know, and luckily they were there, because, you know, my wife could have gone down that river and been unable to help herself instead of getting pulled off to the side. And seeing that type of UFO phenomenon there just prior to that conference there, when world leaders, I realized that they're involved, definitely involved, but not in the, not right in the front, more behind the scenes, and perhaps even watching how we behave, and giving a slight nudge here and there in order to keep things going in the right direction.
Well, do you think that if some nut job decided for political reasons that they were going to detonate a nuclear bomb somewhere, I guess one nuclear device is not enough for the Celestials to step in, is it? It's only when it's possible complete annihilation would they step in. Am I making that assumption a correct one?
To a degree, and we don't really know when that one particular thing would be. One chain reaction of events could be, and this is where even they have admittedly said that they're not sure. That's why they've got to be closely aligned. And it's much more important that we find that way to truth, because that brings our planet into a new age, one in which isn't guided in the same sense, guided more not just under laws and agreements and treaties and things such as that, but one that is guided a lot more under just plain agreements in heart and spirit between peoples. And that is happening very quickly because language barriers, cultural barriers are falling very quickly thanks to our own technology, which has sped up the process tremendously. However, the big hindrance is the economic engine, which has to go through change in order that it may allow for the greater good and essentially a flatter planet, a more even planet, and one in which is able to circulate goodness pervasively throughout the planet, instead of missing large areas and swaths where people, just because they lack resources. And one of the greatest resources, of course, is their ability, their human ability. But even that, of course, many times the economic engine is looked upon as not worth even helping. But this can be overcome, too. And that change has to happen, and it will. It will happen. As soon as that particular trigger of reset falls into place.
Well, as you were speaking of the solar flare or electromagnetic pulse, the same thing. I mean, obviously, a nuclear device detonated up in the atmosphere produces an electromagnetic pulse that fries everything electrical. But the same result happens if there's a massive coronal ejection, right?
Similar, very similar. But the sun can also put out a large pulse.
Right,
electromagnetic pulse.
But think about that for a minute, listeners. Now, what would that mean if that happened? It would happen before you'd know it, right? I mean, you'd only notice it after everything quit working. Now, how many airplanes are there in the sky over the United States at any time? There's thousands, right? People driving cars, 70 miles an hour, your car just shut off. People driving trains, people in all kinds of, think about it, folks, if the electricity went off and wasn't coming back on anytime soon, and if I understand this, many of these devices, like the electronics inside your car, will be fried and never repairable. You'll have to replace it. Is that correct?
Yes, but the aircraft are different. They're shielded from EMP, so the electronics has a much better chance of surviving. Cars have plastic covers over their circuit boards, so they're not shielded.
So you think the plane thing, the planes would not be affected then?
Not as easily affected. They have redundancy, and they also have shielding that has been specifically designed to overcome various forms of electronic interference. Whether it be electromagnetic or some other form of interference, particle interference perhaps. Shielding has a tremendous magnetic shielding, conductive type of shielding, Faraday shields. The old name were Faraday shields.
Well, if you sat and thought about it long enough, you could come up with a very long list of very bad situations when the computers are fried in certain devices. Even a tugboat going, pushing a barge down a river couldn't navigate anymore, couldn't stop. The engine would just be drifting. If things would be very, very bad, and I think it would result in the immediate deaths of some numbers of people just from accidents and bad things happening to people. How'd you like to be in a coal mine and the electricity goes off? Would you have enough air to, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems, but, you know, there's also the fact that we've taken the technology in our automobiles to a point where the cage of life, essentially, and the crumple zones allow for tremendous problems, survivable crashes that are way ahead of just a few years back, you know, and especially decades past, way ahead of those. So, and by the way, many of the tugboats will continue running. Many of the big diesels will continue running because they're not electromagnetically. They have a mechanical, basically, function, and it's all done without many of them without any electronics.
Well, so if a atomic bomb was detonated for the purpose of an electromagnetic pulse, wouldn't that pretty much set us back? I mean, when you talk about every computer would be fried. Is this correct? Are my statements correct? Every computer would be fried. Every electronic component, you know, the computer in your car, all the microchips, all that stuff would be fried, except for what the government has supposedly hardened and perhaps airplanes?
Well, yeah. Well, I'm talking about computers that are turned on and are powered up. They're much more susceptible to damage from an EMP than one that is turned off and properly grounded. They can survive lightning strikes when they're properly grounded. You have, you know, properly grounded power system. Not all computers will be down, but the and most of the systems, the radio transport systems, fiber optic systems, the transport layer is being hardened a lot. So things like that would maybe cause outages that may be a few hours to a few days, maybe even months, but not totally destroyed. But there's a lot of stuff, especially on the consumer end, that will be very susceptible to interference. And one of the ones is our good old cell phones and things like that that will be good indicators of what, you know, something happening, something they timed out. Because we, you know, with that EMP pulse knocking everything down, we as human beings watching that atomic blast back then in Johnson Island survived that EMP pulse without any problem. There's one thing to,
yeah, that's,
to look
that's,
at. That's, however, that was an EMP pulse. But if we were closer and got hit by the particle radiation, oh, that would have pretty, you know, well done us in. And that's the part that is that would come and move much slower from the sun, and it would be wise to duck away from being, you know, bathed in those types of charged particle radiation.
Isn't it a little strange that we have all these natural things that perhaps we're going to have to worry about, such as a solar flare or passing planet Nibiru passing by, or a dwarf star causing gravitation to rip the Earth apart, or when we pass the center of the galaxy on the 21st, December 21st, 2012, when we pass the midpoint of the galaxy, is there a gravitational pull from that event? Will that tip off Yellowstone? It's already in the red zone. Will that cause, you know, anyway, there's a whole bunch of natural things that might get us. Isn't it crazy that we have to also deal with man trying to kill us? You know, the guys, whether it's bringing down the financial system, whether it's germ warfare or atomic warfare, it's, you know, why can't man just get it together and let's take a look at these natural events and see if there's anything we can do to save us?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, pretty much what I was mentioning earlier. I mean, we've got to go through a program of not necessarily reconstruction, but change in the way we do things, which brings us into the new age. Because one of the big problems is the way we handle finance, the way we created a debt-based system, and one in which is probably gone beyond logic anyway right now in terms of the debt ratios that are, you know, being brought into continual reality, immeasurable already. So a whole new system has to be devised. But in that new system, what will it be composed of? And what will be its primary motive? You know, because if it's purely profit, then it will still have the same disease.
Well, that is the way of the United States now. Everything's for profit, right? I don't know. It's all for profit. Even sick people and prisoners and crime, military, all been replaced by for-profit businesses. I wonder the rest of the world thinks we're a bunch of idiots. So you think the average person, here we are, we have 11 months in a week or two to prepare for something that might happen on Friday, December 21st, 2012. Have some cash on hand, as you said. Store a little bit of food and water. Wouldn't hurt you. If nothing happens, you'll just eat the food and drink the water. Anything else? I mean,
have an understandable way in which to get away from charged particle radiations from the sun. That is something that even biblically was looked upon, you know, and in terms of the way it was described, probably to the old prophet was the only way he could describe it. But the essential thing is that where could you move to? Would it be as simple as going under a metal roof? And if you look at that idea, it's a very sensible one. There's many particles that will make it through, but a metal roof has a lot to do in terms of keeping away some really bad stuff. Being, if you're in your car, you want to be in a place where you stay away from the actual anywhere that radiation would come through. And metal has a lot to do with keeping away some of these charged particles because they bounce off. Of course, go through if they're heavier. But
if we don't know when the event's going to take place and all we see is this flash, then it's pretty much pot luck wherever you are at that time, right? I mean, There isn't going to be an advanced notice, is there?
Well, we will have signs. One of the interesting ones is how the aurora would be a visible in low latitudes, because although the particles would be still attracted toward our poles, they still would probably find their way down to the lower latitudes because of the immensity of the radiation. So those things will, of course, give us good indication that we're being blasted by particles. And, of course, having that knowledge is what to do when you're being blasted by some particles like that. You know, where do you go? What do you want to do? And that is essentially having some of those shielded areas.
So would there be, could someone reinforce their basement perhaps in a way? Or?
Well, it wouldn't have to be that, heavy. Because it's, again, it's basically a roof, but a roof that is, instead of keeping the rain out, it's going to keep charged particles away. And again, a good shielded metal roof is one area. Thick, multi-story buildings have a lot of absorptive ability. So caves in mountains have a lot of shielding, things like that. Anything that you can feel close by. It don't have to be a shelter, a bomb shelter, or anything like that. But as a matter of fact, you can survive a lot of the radiation yourself. But if the blast is fairly severe, you can get hurt by it. You can get a little bit of after effects could be bad. You could get interrupted DNA, strands broken, and you have cancer or something like that in later time. Severe sunburn, absolutely severe sunburn.
Well, so have some cash on hand, store some food, and this is my opinion only, buy a gun. Doesn't mean you ever have to use it against anyone, but, if someone shows up and with a gun and you don't have one, they're simply going to take your cash and your food, and you'll wish you had a gun. Are you too much of a pacifist to align yourself with that kind of thinking, Michael?
Well, as far as having a gun for the purpose of defending yourself, it's one big deterrent. You don't even have to, have it loaded. Actually, just to have it is scary already. You don't necessarily have to have that. There's a lot of people that prefer not to have to even, own one, but have other means, other resources. But I think that those with guns will definitely have an advantage over others, whether it be a good advantage or one in which is more defensive, a defensive advantage rather than an aggressive advantage. But could be used either way, just who has them,
That's right. You never have to ever use it. What a great tool. Go down to your local pawn shop, buy a shotgun. The sound of a 12-gauge shotgun going off in the air is enough to change a lot of people's opinions on the spot. That's a pretty big boom.
Absolutely.
It works. You hate to have to resort to that, but it's going to be there's going to be prey and there's going to be hunters, basically. Because the people, who's going to prepare? In all honesty, a few people will. What percentage of the population? Well, that remains to be seen. But just like it is in life, a lot of people aren't going to prepare, and they're going to, if something...
Most people won't. Most people will just continue doing what they've been doing all along. And everything goes along its merry way without any concern that it could be interrupted. And that's another biblical statement because of that. That is having to do with how things would just carry on as normal until that day comes. And we're looking close right at it right now.
So if some of those people look up, they haven't prepared. I have no food, I have no water, but I got a gun. So I'm going to go get me some food, I'm going to go get me some water. And I think it's going to be a bad day to be a human if all that stuff comes down. Well, Michael, we've spent almost this entire program talking about solar flares and electromagnetic pulses. Are you leaning that way? We know that you don't know for sure, but at least in your personal opinion, is that still your thinking now that that's probably the number one threat?
Well, that's probably, for me, it's probably the one thing I suspect the most likely. And it's only logical because it's, happening already, and there's effects already, and it's happening at a lower level. I expect it to increase. However, when it comes down to the effects of a polar shift, whether it be a complete polar swap, or a shift, there will be a point of diminishment in terms of the magnetic field of our planet, which is essentially means our planet will be open to the shots from the sun. Right now it isn't. It's been warding them off pretty well. But also that we have also some celestial help working on that part too. But there will also be a point in which they will be allowed to relax their guard, to say, okay, we'll just let it go the way it should. And these commands have been forecast or pre-told through the ages and considered the day of the Lord, essentially the judgment, essentially a type of judgment, type of, okay, just let things happen as they are, and let the, you know, let it go. But up to that point right now, as what I've seen earlier as far as their activity around the sun and even their activity around our planet more recently, has given me indication that they are still shielding us from, you know, some really big problems. So I don't know if they're going to let it down, and I don't know when, and neither do they. They're just waiting on a higher source, and the same source that we are gifted with, the first source and center, and that divine fractal, which gives us insight into many of these things. And like I say, I have been feeling a little wary right now, especially today, and I just wondered why.
If the first source looked down at this planet and saw where we are, we're greedy, we are a warring people, we're stingy, we're selfish, we're not caring, we're all about profit and things, we're a mess down here, and look where we could have been if we had any brains at all, if our society didn't have all these other distractions. If the first source looks at us and says and makes, I think he'll just say, just let it, wipe them all out, we'll start all over again. Wouldn't be the first time, would it?
It wouldn't have been the first time, yeah.
Well, we are almost at the top of the hour, and it is very important to me that I mention this at the end of every broadcast. Michael does this show because he told his celestial friends that he would help get the word out. We are grateful that he chooses this platform to do so. Michael has nothing to sell. We will not accept advertising on this particular program on the Artist First Radio Network. We want to make this available to anybody without any commercial interruption and to make a choice. Well, you know, you can think whatever you want. We could be a bunch of lunatics over here. That's fine if that's what the free will is all about. And, Michael, we are so grateful that you take the time to be on this program, and I think you speak honestly and from what you believe, and I think anybody that listens to this program thinks highly of you, and while the topics may be questionable to some people, we're all about to find out, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to be starting a countdown. I was going to try to do the math and see how many days it was till December 21st, but I was doing too many things. Michael, thank you so much. Enjoy the sunny weather out there as we trudge through 6 inches of snow and frigid temperatures, and we'll be thinking about you.
Okay. Aloha.
Thank you, Michael. Hey, everybody, stay tuned. Artie Cornfield show's coming after the CBS News, and after that, it's Comedy After Dark at 11 p.m. Eastern. It's a funny show. It's live tonight, so tune that in if you'd like. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This is Z-Man. Good night, everybody.